And by the way, if you go to RN's homepage, you'll find a link to the new digital magazine called White Paper, the latest issues on health with topics such as the quantified self, big data and health, myths about personality disorders, the biophilia hypothesis and urban development, and the impact of Christian morality on female body image. That's White Paper on RN's homepage. Whiplash injuries, usually the result of being rear-ended in a motor vehicle accident, are the commonest reason for compensation claims, anywhere from 20 to 40%, depending on whether you're talking about cost of claims or numbers. The national cost is probably around $1 billion a year. An Australian treatment trial of whiplash has been studied in The Lancet, or I should say, been published in The Lancet. Professor Chris Maher led the study. He's director at the George Institute for Global Health at the University of Sydney.
People turn up and they've got a stiff neck, painful neck, they've got dizziness, they sometimes get some other funny symptoms. In terms of what's caused it, there's a range of things in the neck that could be damaged, but actually pinpointing the exact structure is a real dilemma.
And the classic is a shunting accident in
a
car.
Yeah, the classic would be a rear-end motor vehicle accident. Sometimes people can hit themselves on the head when they're underneath a house or something like that. Sometimes sporting injuries, but by and large, the main group of people come from motor vehicle accidents.
And is there a set of symptoms that are concreted into the word whiplash, or it's really loose and messy?
It's loose and messy. The usual term is whiplash-associated disorders, which talks about this constellation of things that people present with following these motor vehicle accidents. Unfortunately, a large number of people have, I guess, minor ongoing symptoms for a great deal of time. It's really the minority that have severe disabling symptoms that persist for a long period of time.
And the theory is your head gets moved backwards and forwards quite quickly.
Quite quickly, and that damages the structures around the neck. The structures around the neck help control the position of the head, and so that's why you might feel dizzy. That's why you get all sorts of funny problems when you've got whiplash. The other thing is that a lot of the muscles of the arm attach to the spine, and so you have problems using your arms as well.
And when you do x-rays and stuff like that, does anything turn up?
Well, there's a very small group of people where you take an x-ray following a motor vehicle accident, and it's clear they've had a dislocation or a fracture, and they're called
the cervical spine of their neck.
That's right. And so that's WAD grade 4, and it's the smallest group of whiplash-associated disorders, or WAD conditions. Most people are in this group in the middle, where they don't have any fracture or dislocation.
And before we get to your trial, is it mandatory for a GP to order an x-ray of the spine if somebody comes in with one of these injuries?
No. There's a rule that helps GPs distinguish between people who've got a low probability of having a fracture as the cause of their problem and people who you don't need to send for x-rays. So you can use the Canadian C-spine rule or the Nexus decision rule to help you decide which sorts of patients should be sent off for imaging and which ones you don't need to do that for.
And just briefly, what sort of criteria should the doctor be thinking about?
There are things such as a high-speed accident, older people, midline tenderness. There's a decision rule that you go through. There's also an app that you can get for your iPhone. To be honest, I forget it, so I have the app on my phone, and I just push the buttons, and it tells you whether this person needs to have an x-ray. And I'd suggest that GPs do the same thing.
The app that could save the country a fortune. So tell me about your trial.
This is an interesting trial. We're interested in whether which was the best way of these two approaches to treat people with chronic whiplash. And by chronic, I mean they've had their symptoms for at least 3 months. One approach was fairly simple. They went to the physiotherapist, got a booklet, one session with the physiotherapist, and had two phone follow-ups. And what they were taught was how to exercise and self-manage their symptoms. And on the other side, we gave people 20 sessions of physiotherapy, 1 hour for each of these sessions, and they did an exercise program, and that went for a whole 3 month period of time.
What were the exercises?
They were exercises beginning with regaining control of the muscles of the neck, and then eventually we progressed, I guess, more to a graded activity approach, which would be using principles of psychology, teaching people how to move safely again. And so it was
not to be scared of moving.
Yeah, so we had some, you know, pacing principles, not to be scared of pain, aerobic conditioning. And so we started with the neck as the focus and then moved towards the whole of the body over that 20-week period of time.
And as a preface to this, it's been shown that putting you in a collar for whiplash makes no difference at all. That can make you worse.
Yeah, so the prevailing view is that if anything, it's going to make you worse. And so you should avoid using a collar.
Because it weakens the muscles and stops you looking after yourself.
Yeah, because most of the time, the approaches for whiplash and also for, I guess, acute back pain is that you need to gradually return to normal activity. And a collar or a brace that you put around the back, you know, prevents you doing those sorts of things.
So what were the findings?
Well, it was surprising. We looked at a range of outcome measures. We looked at pain, we looked at disability, we looked at quality of life, we looked at how far the person could move the neck over a whole year, and there were no difference between the two groups. So the group that got the much more comprehensive program didn't have better outcomes than the group that had the fairly simple approach of one session with a physiotherapist with two phone follow-ups.
And did you check whether or not they were doing anything after that one session? In other words, they got the advice that, you know, ta-ta for now and I'll give you a phone call in a couple of weeks. Did they actually do anything about themselves?
Yeah, as part of the assessments we did, we also checked whether people were doing the home exercise programs, and there was reasonable compliance with that.
And what about doing nothing?
We don't have a trial of that, and that'd be a very brave trial to do. And in some ways, I'm not sure that's the way I'd go. I think what we need to do is look at other approaches, probably looking at things like medicines. We know virtually nothing about medicines for whiplash, which ones are effective and which ones, you know, don't do anything at all. So I think rather than going back and giving people nothing, you know, cold turkey, I'd like to look at some of these other medicines that people are prescribing for whiplash.
So we don't know what doing nothing does.
That's right.
We do know that a short intervention with a couple of quick follow-ups is as good as quite an intensive treatment. At the end of a year, how many people were still relatively disabled by their pain?
There was a large number, so I guess the message here is that...
Neither were much caught.
For this particular condition, it's a really difficult thing to treat. It reduced your pain, but I would be gilding the lily if I said that these people were cured.
So didn't these people just develop, and develop a chronic pain syndrome, in other words, like chronic blowback pain, chronic pelvic pain, chronic headache. They had chronic pain, and in fact, it's not their neck anymore that's the problem. It's the fact that abnormal circuits in the brain are firing because they've just had pain too long.
That's one of the theories around, you know, chronic whiplash, and I think there's something to that.
And did you look at the life situation of the people in your sample? Because some people suggest that you're more vulnerable to chronic pain if, for example, there's a compensation claim going on. If you've had lots of life changes, you've separated, or you've lost your job, because that colours the way your brain's working.
We looked at a range of measures of psychological aspects, pain sensitisation, central sensitisation, trying to see if the effect of treatment was different in different subgroups. When we looked at that, we found absolutely nothing.
And the role of compensation claims?
In my view, the role of compensation is that it tends to make care fragmented for people who've got a compensation injury. And so you have to you have to wait for approval for different medical programs, and all those sorts of things makes people cranky and frustrated. And I think that is why you get worse health outcomes for people who have a compensable injury.
So somebody's listening to this who's got a whiplash, mm-hmm. What's the advice?
Well, my advice would be that the simple approach is probably the first starting point. It's going to be cheaper, it's going to be more convenient, there's going to be people in rural and remote settings who can't access a physiotherapist, so that would be my starting point.
So a single visit just to get the basics?
I think a single visit, a good educational booklet, the opportunity to phone the physiotherapist a couple of times just to progress what you're doing, that should be the starting point if you've got chronic whiplash. Some people may not do very well with that. They may be a little bit apprehensive. They're not the sort of person who can self-manage. Maybe the clinician needs to think about a guided exercise program for those people. But we do know that on average, you know, that simple approach seems to give equivalent results.
And you hear about people getting injections into the cervical spine for whiplash, you know, steroids and anaesthetic and so on. Does that work?
There's clear evidence that steroids don't work. There's a controversial trial that looked at injection of sterile water, and that seemed to work. And there's another procedure which is not injecting a substance, it's actually putting a needle in and burning the nerves that supply the joints in the neck that have been damaged. And that does seem to work. It dulls the pain because the nerves no longer transmit pain, but you have to keep repeating the procedure when the nerves grow back again. So that procedure, radiofrequency neurotomy, it sounds awful, does relieve people's pain for a period of time.
Chris, thanks for joining us on the Health Report.
Thank you.